Hello and welcome to Elite Cadre, the wargaming podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm Mike.
Wait a minute, wargaming podcast?
Yeah.
Last time we went to Hordes and War Machine, but before that, for two episodes, we were wargaming, and now we're back to being wargaming, but not just Hordes and War Machine. I don't understand.
You're not meant to understand, Kurt. That's your job. You're meant to be a conscientious objector to basically everything.
I'm Alec.
Okay. I'm wearing a white feather. I'm Kurt.
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, this week, Kurt, you have brought us a topic of discussion.
Yeah, well, you had lots of ideas. I didn't really mean to railroad all your clever ideas that you had.
clever ideas. Those are basically the ideas known otherwise as time-wasting.
So, was that what they were? Was that a trick?
We don't have anything else to do. Quick, let's review a faction, basically. Oh, what were the two suggestions? It was...
What's the best Warjack War Beast? Which we could do at some point. Doing Warcasters before, wasn't it? I didn't realise that. We could do that at some point.
We'd done the Warjacks one, and it was basically a discussion of best and worst Warjack.
We'll get drunk and do that somewhere.
Which is still a valid discussion, but you know, maybe not one for now. We can do that later. And the other one, given the power, what one rule change would you make in War Machine and Hordes? Which we will also leave you in wonder about for the rest of your lives, or possibly until, like,
we run out of things, other things to talk about.
Yeah, the podcast after next. I'm sure by then we'll have gone, John, do you want to talk about SmogCon?
Or... Yes, I think that'd be a good plan.
John always wants to talk about SmogCon.
He never stops talking about SmogCon. I did have great fun with John recently on, Facebook messaging, asking about SmogCon, because I said, I don't know if you recall, you were very drunk, wasted at the time. the Welsh Open, that I did say that I ended up working at SmogCon, and he said, I don't know how I do that. I said, well, I don't even drink. I was like, I know, I don't know how you do it either, but you were trolling off your face, and I knew you hadn't drunk anything, because you don't.
How does he cope?
Sorry?
How does he cope? Yeah.
I don't know how he copes. I don't know how he copes. But, you know, he doesn't remember what happens the following day either, so, you know, it doesn't matter, really, does it? Is there no news? We've skipped straight to topic. Is there no news?
If there's any news, really. Then passed me by in a fit of pique. Tell you what, should we have a very radio-centric point where I just kind of click on the link to Tabletop?
Isn't there more detail come out about now that the Battle for Saul, or whatever the actual box name's called, for High Command has actually come out? Isn't there more detail about what's in there now? Wasn't it vague before? I didn't know before, and now I know what's in it?
I've not exactly pored over it, so if you know any more about it, please feel free to...
So I know that it's... I was quite surprised. It changes quite a lot of the game. It isn't just Signar, and it isn't just Menoth, which I thought it wouldn't be, because that would be silly. It is all four main core factions, and it is new location cards and new Winds of War cards to play specifically for that. So it is, you're playing... setting more of a scene of the... The Streets of Saul and that particular encounter around Legends and stuff when it was originally recanted. And I don't know if the cards that you get in it are specific to the ones that came out in Legends. That'd be quite cool if it was.
Which cards? Oh, sorry? You mean as in actually following the War Machine book that sort of...
Ties in with that would be quite interesting. I don't know if that's true. I haven't opened a box. I haven't seen it yet.
The ones for Invasion of Saul are the event casters.
Who are they?
So that's... Well, you put me on the spot now. I know the Cato
was
ones.
That,
Rakov, Krix is the Coven.
Okay.
Kind of
Signar, then.
Signar, Kara Sloan, I think.
Oh, okay.
Menoth would be Thyra.
I am fighting the urge to buy the War Machine box as well.
Oh, for High Command? I'm looking at Faith and Fortune and going, yes, my precious, yes.
Yeah, that has a lot of appeal. That has a lot of appeal, because I don't own War Machine. I only own the Hordes one, and I have a Dom down in Exeter wants to swap Scorn for Menoth. So swap upgrade Scorn with three upgrade boxes attached to it for the Menoth with all the upgrades. I'm like, oh, that's really tempting.
They have actually... I just realised... we actually didn't know that before. Damn.
What?
they've posted the four factions for Faith and Fortune, and yes, it does have 4-star and Highborn as separate decks.
Yeah.
Which, it's going to be interesting, because then we'll actually...
But they're almost exclusive. There's very few things that cross over.
Yeah.
It's like what's his face? Throws grenades.
What's his face? Throws grenades. Brilliant.
One of the dwarves.
Like, you don't know who that is.
Gorman.
Who else works for both? That's not still heads.
Well, it depends what you mean by work. You mean for 4-star and
Highborn.
All the 4-star. Rupert works for both. The Garber works for both.
It's not many.
Not Taryn, but a friend.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, he works for both, because he works for Kador and Signal.
Oh, okay. It always seemed like a short list to me, but maybe it seems longer than... Maybe it's got longer.
Most of the casters work for both. I think the bigger divide is the fact that a lot of the dwarves won't work for Kador.
I thought a lot of the mercs that work for Signal wouldn't work for Kador, and there's a bit of a divide there, but obviously that's not... Because steelheads obviously work for everyone, don't they? So
I think there's like three or four... There's about three solos that won't work for Signal because they're outlaws.
Okay, so I've formed the opinion, going back to like Escalation, and I haven't changed it since then, by the side of it.
Well, you know, if you're going to let your mercs fall out of focus... whereas I've been sat there on the train today going, yes, I could build a Damiano list that does this and this and that. Ooh, that's nice.
I haven't played Mercs. I haven't played Mark II Mercs.
That might explain why you're feeling a little bit out of touch.
I haven't played Mercs in Mark II at all, I don't think.
Well, I'm slowly moving back towards them at the moment because...
I heard you ordered a galleon, didn't you?
Yes, privateer point. On the PP points, I have got myself a galleon, which...
Ooh, that's you got a buyer already for that, have you?
I just want to state the record that I have no plans to sell on any models I bought with PG points. And this is slanderous and perilous. And
it's made me laugh.
If any PP staff want to come round and check if they've still got the models, they're free to do so.
Yes, the photo in the corner really is my galleon I haven't sold.
It hasn't even been shipped yet. I'm waiting for a pop.
Sorry, that was far too funny.
Yes. Actually, we do have one new thing, model-ish. That's Epic Absolonia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She looks quite... we didn't talk about her, although we missed her. I mean, because she was around when we talked about all the troll stuff that came out for Lock and Load, but she was around then, wasn't she?
Possibly. Mm. She's got bigger. She's on a 40mm base.
She's got more focused.
Got some massive wings.
She settled into her mutation.
Yes. You're just reading the thing now.
I haven't got the screen. At the moment, my screen says X-Men Apocalypse. That's what my screen says. So I haven't.
That's all it's ever going to say again. It's going to be burned in by next week, isn't it?
I actually might have to put that as some backdrop somewhere. Yeah. I was playing the unimpressed card when you sent it, and now I'm looking at it going, I might have to keep that.
Abby is out. Kind of looks like... Is it the Afflictor? Don't know who all at once? No?
No, I don't know who that is.
It's one of the lighter war beasts for Legion.
That nobody plays, obviously, because I've never heard of it.
Yes, clearly, because we've got me playing Merc, Circle, and Kador, you playing your face.
I'm sorry, what? Trolls is what I play, generally. I know I've had flirtations for other things, and I do play other things.
Signa.
Circle.
One Mercs, Circle. Basically, you'll play whatever's going.
I don't own that many factions. Three Hordes factions. Three War Machine factions.
Down to just three now, are we?
Well, Menoth, Signar, Mercs. Well, I also forgot him. War Machine. That's it. Three of each. There you go.
You got some crits hanging around there somewhere, haven't you?
I never played them. It just sort of was part of a deal, and I've got like one or two models, literally. Okay. And then I need to get shot of them and make the phone comfortable.
We'll let you off. Mm. And then we've got Alex, who...
Yes.
Are you paid that? I'm stuck yet.
Yeah, man, it's finished. It's I sold it though, so you know it's gone.
I was gonna say when you're stripping it down, but sold that.
No, I painted it and I sold it to a collector who said he's never going to show it on the internet. So part of the stipulations of the sale. So
you know. I see. This is how this plan is going down, is it?
Terrible. Very convincing, Alex. I believed you all the way.
It was destroyed in a fire.
Is this like the original Gudrun?
Yes, very much like the original Gudrun.
It's got the same parts bin as the original sculpt for Gudrun.
Yes. I shipped it to Privateer Press in the States, but apparently the postal service just destroyed it. Didn't like the awesomeness.
Well, there we go.
Good.
Okay. Any thoughts?
There's other non-War Machine news.
Is there?
Ooh.
There is. Oh, we've had some new X-Wing stuff.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. There's wave five ships, so four ships, well, wave four ships.
The wave four ships arrived. Have released, and that's the E-Wing, the Z-90...
Headhunter.
The Defender, and the Phantom.
Yes.
How about that Star Trek X-Wing game, then?
No one cares.
Jimmy cares.
No one who takes any kind of war game sensibly plays Star Trek games. Let's put that right out there.
Yes. So they've released, but at the same time, we've just seen the two new large ships for Wave 5.
Large.
Which is the YT-2400... Is it the Outrunner or the Outrider? I can never remember.
I want to say Outlander, but that's because of a film.
Yes. I'm going to say the Outrunner.
I can't remember that. Without Googling it, I can't remember. But yes, it's a bit like a stretched Falcon.
Yeah, it's like a Falcon. Well, it's the upgrade to the Falcon.
Yeah.
Obviously. Mm. And then we've also seen the...
VT-49 Decimator, is that right?
Oh, not the VT-49 Decimator.
Yeah.
Which is basically the Millennium Falcon, but bred with several TIE Fighters, in fact.
Or very small Star Destroyer.
Star Destroyer, really?
It's triangular. Our ships are triangles.
I'm going to have to look this up now, because...
You said bred with. You said bred with, so I was going with the bred with thing. I wasn't trying to claim it is one. It's not. Okay. It's a small kind of outlying sort of touring like ship, isn't it? It's a I can't remember what it's for.
Well, it's designed as the it was originally designed as the Imperial version of the Falcon. That was what it was.
Imagine an Imperial version of something that's made by built on Coruscant. That doesn't make any sense.
It's not. They're Corellian.
Oh, Corellian cruiser. Of course it is. It's not Coruscant. Yes.
Yeah. No, but I'm not talking about a sort of an in-world thing. I'm talking about from an external. Thing when it was originally designed, created by artists and people.
Oh, I thought you meant in world, right? I see.
No.
Yes.
Now it was designed as basically we want an Imperial equivalent to the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And that's what they came up with, and it looks remarkably similar. It's got the kind of the two prong design, but with all the windows being TIE Fighter windows, and it's
turret. It's got a turret for the Empire.
I don't like the Imperials having turrets. It worries me.
Imperial turrets.
Having zero dodge amuses me.
Yeah, yeah.
More shields and hull than I'd ever want to see on a ship, but yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. At least one. But they don't play the fire spray, so, you know.
Fire spray's good.
Just too many other things.
It has got to the point now where we just sit there and go, should we play a 400-point game just so we can get the stuff on the table that we watched?
Well, I'm leaning towards more 200-point games just so you can get a bit of elbow room in your stuff, but 100 points is really difficult now. It's like playing 35 points War Machine.
Yeah, it really, really is. I think both of those new models are utterly fantastic. Every single time they come out with a new model for X-Wing miniatures, it's like, that looks really, really good, and I want one.
I've got a triple-sized, so double width and half, 1.5 times the height, KR case that I got because my pigs would go in it, my Pharaoh would go in it, and my X-Wing. Now, with that new release, I could see me buying more foam and having this big case just being all X-Wing.
Eventually, you're just going to walk up to conventions like a big wheelie case. Like, what's in there?
Everything.
The big ship for the Imperials. The rest is in the car. I have already said to Doc Bungle, waves 6 through 10 are going to be like a part work. For
he said that's what bits of the Star Destroyer that you buy and assemble as you go, like Lego.
It'll start with the nose cone, but because of the movement template, by the time that the next two waves are out, you'll have the pieces to put on the board.
Nice.
So...
It is fascinating where they'll go, because they're kind of running out of stuff now.
Well, they've already run out of the main universe stuff.
Now, they're getting thin on the games now.
Because
the games all overlapped quite heavily. They borrowed from each other and borrowed from the Farlander papers and things like that, which is like an early kind of... You bought a limited edition X-Wing computer game. You got this book called the Farlander papers, and that's got all sorts of unusual stuff that was... And then you got the books. And they've kind of done... Because apparently, what's his face? One of the E-Wing pilots, Corran Horn. Apparently, he's one of the books. I've never read that book he's in, but
he's got a series of books.
A series of books. I thought he was in one of the kind of precisely cantina type ones.
I thought Corran Horn had been around for quite a while.
I don't know. I don't really. I've never read a lot of Star Wars fiction.
This is exposing some holes in our knowledge, Kurt.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Star Wars goes off into the distance there, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is very, very true. I mean, there is still stuff that they can certainly refer to. I mean, there is stuff like the Corellian Navy's Uglies that can come into it, which are some interesting craft. I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
No, I haven't, no.
Where you get things like the X-Tie, which is an X-Wing, but with its normal engines replaced with TIE engines.
Okay, making it far, rather manoeuvrable.
That was the original intention. However, it does not necessarily work out that way. The Uglies are basically the weird cut and shots of the galaxy that end up, I'm fairly sure, defending Corellia at one point. There you go. So you get things like the Y-tie, the X-tie, the X-scepter, the Z-scepter, Corellian B-wing, the Twi'lek Chidaki, and the Invid's Clutch.
I don't think I have any interest in any of those things.
Basically, they're all cut shots.
Sorry, I think I may have drifted off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have we woken you up?
You may well have just done, yes. As interesting as this all is. Say what?
Yeah, it's interesting.
I thought we should just
people do find it interesting.
So, well, Alex, I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of time on the news for that. Is there anything for Bushida?
There's a few.
Well, thank you, Alex. That was a great segment there. So we can just move on now. Feel so mean and yet so justified.
Alex, is there any kind of football event on at the moment that you'd like to talk about?
None whatsoever.
I think that says... I think it gives you an indication of what period we are in what time of day and period of time we are, and what's occurred, what hasn't occurred. That's nice and big, wasn't it?
Playing Algeria, 63 minutes gone, 0-0 still.
Good. Sounds like a
and England is doing well, I heard.
Well, we got a point. I mean, that counts for something, right?
What do you even know that? I have no awareness of it whatsoever, apart from that we're not in it, and that was a good thing with no stupid flags everywhere now. It's great.
Most of what I know about this World Cup will be contained in the fact that in the sweepstakes I got Ghana, that went downhill very quickly.
Well, not really. They actually still had a chance of going through on the last
game. They did on the last game, yes. But anyway, moving on from the World Cup.
God, I can't believe I said football. We actually ended up talking about it. What the fuck? somebody save me from myself. Right. Well, yes. I think that's the news. Is there any news? I don't keep up with Infinity World enough to know there's any Infinity news, I know that there is a new rule set coming out in the autumn, which I'm looking forward to.
What's yes, I am also looking forward to that. I should be playing it with James Brown, if all goes according
what's
to
this new rule set?
Infinity.
For Infinity.
Okay, yeah.
They're having a third edition, and this time they're hiring a translator.
And they're going for simplicity.
It's interesting to watch some of the decisions that are being made. Like, there will be a standard silhouette for all the models. So regardless if they're crouching, standing, jumping on a scenic base, they now occupy a standard size. It's still...
And unifying the base sizes and stuff as well, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's still true line of sight. But, I mean, just looking at some of the new sculpts that they are absolutely just pumping out on a monthly basis, they're going through and they're going, okay, what are all those models from the start of Infinity that we don't like, and how can we alter them? And there's things like the bikers for the Hackerslam. They've gone from those weird kind of mini monocycles to big old proper hogs that they're driving now.
Cool.
And, I mean, they've been posting on their Twitter feed just like comparison of like the 2009 models alongside the 2014 equivalents, and that just the change in definition of some of them.
I mean, the Seraph is eventually going to come out.
I think, the last time I played, there were a lot of models that came out, especially for Ariadne, because I know Nick was there going, I can't have any of my emergency services stuff. There's no, what are the werewolf things called?
Scottish.
Wolvers. Well, yes, they are Scottish.
Is that not the same thing? I thought werewolves and Scottish, too much dog soldiers.
Yeah,
I want to watch that now. Where's dog soldiers?
They do come from the planet Scotland.
They do.
One interesting change that they're making that, I don't know whether I view this as a positive or not, but basically to try and sort of gain some ground in America, they're actually going to be expanding Ariadne's American forces. Okay. And I always thought that was a very interesting differentiation between Infinity and other games. Almost everywhere else, you have these are your pseudo Americans, or in fact, Signar. Just your Americans. Well, Signar have always been this odd mix of British and American.
That's that sounds Canadian.
If you read the weird sort of cod accents that are sort of stuffed in there, Crick's oddly with a bit of Somerset.
John Webb would probably go with that, yes.
But more to do with the whole piratey thing than anything else.
John Webb would probably go with that, yes.
Oh, it's got this bizarre accent that you just read it and just
go. What you're trying to say there is that Cricks are from Western Supermare, like John Webb. Good.
Well, if you've been down to the beach at Western Super, I'll go no further.
I went on. Oh, it was the driver's fucking speed awareness that went on. They showed a picture as like picturing Somerset as Western Supermare. They found a nice picture of Western Supermare Beach. I was like, how the hell did you get that?
I think there were
it's
more
just mud.
Focusing on there, Kurt.
Clearly taken in the 1950s.
I think it was still muddy then.
but I think it's an interesting change that Infinity has professed it's going to go under and to have that kind of pseudo British American force when they've always kind of defined themselves as having. You've got Pan Oceania, which is
Australia.
Some European nations combined with Australia and New Zealand.
Australia.
What have they said they're going to do with standard European.
Right. Do you know the factions for Infinity?
Yes.
Okay, Ariadne, which is like planet Scotland, France, America thing. The first colony ship that got lost. And basically, they've
old
said.
Technology.
Yes. They've said that they want to expand drastically the American forces there so that they can push it more into a US market.
Okay.
Which I don't fault them for because, you know, the number one thing you need to do if you want to have a successful miniatures line is to, well, have a successful miniatures line. You know, you've got to sell miniatures to make better ones.
Yes.
And it's kind of, it's always, to me, defined itself as not having that and being deliberately in the case of not having that. So that you just got Pan Oceania, you've got Yuching, Hackerslam, Nomads, Aleph.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre in that the good guys to me always seem to be Pan Oceania, and they are.
They are
in the sense of the game. I know they're not entirely good guys, and you know there's no one.
I think rather than defining them as good guys, being the center point of the game.
Yes, they are.
They're the big corporate that bully everyone else.
They are in the old blue versus red. They are the blue, so they are the good guys in inverted commas.
Except they're also the religious fanatics. Except the nomads are as well.
Yes, but. And say they are the blue guys, and the Yuching being the red guys, you know, the arch enemies, the baddies in inverted commas. And it'd be interesting to see going down more of a, let's say, Americanized route with Ariadne.
It'll be interesting to see to what extent they take that.
Yeah. Ariadne are a bit like trolls in the War Machine in the sense that Ariadne seem to be the non-aggressors. If that makes sense, like trolls.
Yeah, everyone just came to their planet and went, we quite like that metal you have. And they're like, no.
Yeah, it's a bit like trolls being hoofed out of everywhere and everybody attacking trolls and trolls going, oh, can't have this, after a while. But yeah, so it's a similar kind of, whereas Pan and Shidana are all kind of throwing their weight around and with a big I am and Yuching are kind of competitive and trying to, throw their weight around
is
as well.
Is that the, is it on Obsanium, the metal they have?
No, not quite.
Nice. Liked it. That's good, Alex.
Laziest.
You don't even read comics. That's good. That's very good. An Obtanium. So I like that.
Hopefully, I'll be able to bring the Hacker Slam out of retirement and see what they do.
I am officially scared of painting this game.
Oh, God. They look terrifying. The models.
I haven't even primed my models. They're just metal. I'm scared of them.
Yeah. I must admit, I was down at Element Games. Which is well worth checking out if you're, well, near a computer or near Stockport to go into the actual store that they have there. And they had a lot of the new Infinity releases. I think it's quite a good gaming group that play Infinity down in the gaming centre in Stockport. And some of the new models just absolutely gorgeous. The new combined stuff, the Morats, the combined army are really, really nice.
Well, if you have a look at some of them that have been properly painted, I mean, I've had the opportunity to look at Tom Hutchings Infinity stuff up close. If you're a good painter, they are a phenomenal canvas on which to show off. I mean, they are just jaw-droppingly gorgeous. Absolute arse to put together, but they are so good.
I consider myself a reasonable painter, and they scare me.
I think, from what I've heard from some people, is that it almost is better sometimes to actually just pick an undercoat colour and then just wash everything else.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I've got Pan Oceania military orders to paint.
I have no idea. I know I have the two of the Hackerslam starter sets, the one of the sectorial ones, the kind of assassin ones, and then the normal one, plus some odalisks. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting when I get around to it.
I've got, for purely aesthetic reasons, I bought into some of the Ariadne stuff myself, and I got the...
I thought you'd have bought something that was similar to one of your other factions, not, you know, werewolves that are like your other werewolves. What?
Yes, Kurt. So I got, I can't remember what they're called now. I think it's Mirage 13 or something they're called. It's the big werewolf and his human girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the picture, yeah.
Margot and Duroc, I think they're called.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm sure there's Infinity players out there saying, no, you fools. But then seeing, I know Ian, the Wargamer trader, the Warhammer trader, I don't know what he's calling himself nowadays.
War trader.
Wargaming trader or war trader, yeah.
War trader, yeah. He hosted his annual summer challenge at the weekend.
He did.
Tweeting lots of pictures of that, which again makes you...
Oh, his paint, the painting was awesome. I saw the pictures that were in for the painting. It was amazing for the army.
Very nice. Makes you want to play when you see stuff like that going on with nice.
I go to the club where Ian goes, and they play. What's this game called?
Infinity.
And I watched them play it, and it's like I've learned to play this, and I played it ages ago, and I watched it, and I'm like, it's like you're talking a foreign language. I can't follow this game. That's why I'm waiting for third edition to come out so I can start again and go right. So now start again and learn to play this game properly now with a new edition.
I will say it is not the easiest game to get a handle of, especially if you don't have a local who knows the game.
Yeah.
But I've played it and I can't remember it. I've never done this with a game before. It's just like, I have no clue what's going on. It's not like Alex talking about Netrunner just now. It's like earlier on.
So we were talking about Netrunner earlier on. It's very similar in that sense too. If you're talking to somebody about Netrunner and somebody else overhears you, and this is the case for me before I started actually playing Netrunner, you hear people talk about Netrunner and it sounds like utter gobbledygook.
It does.
No sense whatsoever. But until you actually sit down and take the time to learn the game, and I even tried to watch the online tutorial that Fantasy Flight made a few times before I actually kind of got into the game.
Oh, God.
And even kind of getting into that, it was like, what?
I will say this about Fantasy Flight tutorials. Fantasy Flight tutorials are excellent at covering all the basic mechanics for any game that they are producing. What Fantasy Flight tutorials are not great at, however, is inspiring any interest whatsoever.
I mean, that is
a criticism, but, you know, they do need a bit of a redesign. Far better for actually giving you some enthusiasm is to actually watch Team Covenant's coverage.
Oh, they're always good.
Of one of the World Championships where it's two guys play, and the game is something like an hour and a half long, which for Netrunner is ridiculous. And it's watching these two guys as the commentators kind of take you through the game and what's going on, who's bluffing at any one point, what something could be, what they think it is, what the good play is, and watching these two people kind of... Netrunner is half bluff at the best of times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of bluffing going on.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons the game was actually designed originally was that Richard Garfield looked at Magic and he went, okay, so we've got here a game that it is down almost sometimes to who has the better hand. He wanted to make something where you could have a hand of absolute awful cards, but if you knew what the person across the table was thinking and how to play them, you could still win from that situation no matter how good their hand was.
Yeah.
And to have that ability and to be able to kind of just occasionally just put something out in the open and go for it. Could be a trap. Could win you the game. Who knows? And to get through stuff like it, that is one of the best parts about that game.
Sounds quite scary.
It's one of the few games where it's even as a card game, you kind of occasionally feel the blood pumping a little, because it's like, do I want to do this or not? I don't know. This could kill me instantly.
And that's it. The ability to, if you make one wrong move, to die almost straight away is...
Yeah.
He is... Parent on, and he does put that tension into the game. And every time you kind of, because the whole, I mean, to anyone who doesn't know about Netrunner, it's asymmetrical. There's one person who plays a sort of a massive corporation, another person who plays a runner who is effectively a hacker, and it's the whole sort of cyber warfare set in a cyber.
Yeah, it's essentially so, as the hacker, you're trying to stop the corporation's plans coming to fruition and reveal them to the world before the corporation can develop them and get them in place. That's the kind of the whole battle that's going on. It's going across across to like various servers and stuff like that, but you kind of you can just ignore that bit and go on the main sort of.
Yeah, I mean as a runner, what you're basically trying to do is complete runs on particular servers to try and reveal these agendas, as Mike says, and score them for yourself. And it can be that there's certain factions, the way that they play is that they will set up traps within their servers, and effectively they will deal damage to you as soon as you access them. So you may well be going in thinking, oh yeah, this is an agenda, I'm going to get it off them, you know, it's going to win me the game, when in actual fact, you know, it's a trap and it ends up dealing you a significant amount of damage and you end up losing the game. And it can all be, and if you've not got the right defenses in place as both sides, you can it can be over so quickly. But it's a really, really good game and well worth anyone checking out, definitely.
I mean, I would say just pick up the starter set. It's something like 25 quid
most places now, I think.
That gives you access to one deck for each of the corporations, one deck for each of the runners, by simply taking the neutral cards and that faction's cards, mix them together, there you go, that's your deck, now play. Yeah. And then obviously it doesn't give you the best mix of cards, and yes, that comes later. But it gives you a great starting off point to try everything. And if you don't like it, bung it on eBay.
Yeah. Someone shared a link with me on Facebook, I think it was, about someone writing up a kind of a, is it 2 or 3 years on now from when Netrunner was released, and kind of a look back over the years?
It was released about 8 months before last year's.
Okay, so near enough 2 years.
Actually, no, it wasn't 8 months. It was about 6 months before.
Okay, so maybe 18 months then. Either way, they were basically saying that, you know, has it all been worth it? £220 for effectively over 1,000 pieces of card. And so that is the cold, hard truth of it. If you want to get everything for Netrunner, you're looking at around 220, 250 quid.
Oh, absolutely. You look at something like Magic the Gathering and you go, okay.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So it's
yeah.
£220 for that, which is the full set of Netrunner, or £220 for 4 booster boxes of Magic.
Yeah.
And that for me, I mean, just to kind of clear this up, Netrunner is something called an LCG, living card game. You know exactly what's in every single box before you open it, except the draft packs, which are kind of their own separate mini game off to one side. But you know exactly what's in there. So you can just say, I would like to buy Netrunner, the game, with all the expansions, and know you are getting a full complement of every single card. There's no chasing rares or anything like that. And compare that to Magic, where 4 booster boxes might not even get you one of every card in a set, of one set of 4 releases a year, of just an endless cycle of bans and renewals and everything else. Gaming is never going to be cheap, but if you're looking for a cheaper way in...
X-Wing.
Well, yeah, X-Wing or an LCG or something like that is an ideal gateway game.
Don't have to buy all the ships I keep buying for X-Wing. You can buy the starter set and select upgrade ships and have a great deal of fun.
This is actually one of the comments that's come to me quite frequently. It's like, oh, the models for X-Wing are really expensive. I'm like, well, hang on. You're paying between £9 and £12 for a fully painted ship. And in what you're having to buy maybe, let's say, 2 of those for the full complement you'll probably ever need. Maybe 3 if you're feeling adventurous. But that's it. And then there's, 2, maybe 3 releases a year of 2 ships for your faction? It's not an awful lot.
Nope.
Compare that to, the new book set for War Machine. That'll be £35. Okay, my new model's rare. Well, that'll be 10 quid for this, 20 quid for this, and 50 quid for this. Okay, which again, don't mind paying, because War Machine, fantastic game, love it, I will get stuff. But if you're looking for a cheap gateway, actually something like X-Wing or even Star Wars Attack Wing. Star Trek Attack Wing.
Is Star Wars Attack Wing.
My brain, it hurts.
Good.
Yeah, they're decent gateway titles. I feel we've gone into a discussion that's entirely different to the one we originally planned.
That's all right, we've done that, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're still in the news, aren't we?
I fear we may have wandered.
It's good. It's a good ramble. I like it.
Well, this is the kind of hot button issues that people tune in to hear us vaguely
ramble on about.
Yeah, exactly.
Something.
Yeah, there have been a couple of comments on the G Plus page from Tim Martin. Yes, he's asking us what we think about things like the CRA podcast. I have not listened to it.
Nor have I. I don't know what it is.
Actually, at the moment, I am mainly listening to two other War Machine podcasts, one of which barely counts, which is Crippled Systems. Which, you know, their tagline of "you do not need to play War Machine to listen to our podcast" is entirely correct.
Is it good? I've never listened to it.
It's, I think you'd actually get on with it.
Okay. I don't listen to any podcast at the moment, ironically. I used to listen to loads.
Yeah, I'm listening to the. I'm listening to Crippled Systems. I'm listening to what's the one? Lost Hemisphere Radio, because g'day bloke.
Good answer.
Can't leave him alone for too long. Might get in trouble.
I haven't listened to. This is a very terrible admission. I haven't listened to a Lost Hemisphere podcast for a very long time. I should really catch up a bit and listen to them. They're always good.
I bet you're not even joining in the current Paint the Target.
I haven't listened to Paint the Target for over a year.
That was on the blog. It's a Warjack or Warbeast, I think, at the moment.
I'm not really painting much at the moment.
Okay, fair enough. But the other thing I'm listening to is...
I can't really sit in a chair for a long period of time right now.
Well, we weren't going to discuss that. That's a tender matter for our male listeners, which are maybe all of them. Yes, let's leave that discussion for another time.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. If you know, yeah. I wasn't going to talk about it at all, but you know what I'm like, I can't not.
Oh, yes. The other podcast I'm listening to is actually a non-War Machine one that's called Technical Difficulty, which is where they have a group of people with a box of Trivial Pursuits cards. One person picks one out, reads the answer, and then everyone else has to guess the question.
And you listen to this by choice.
Yes, it's really funny.
Some random stuff out there.
Well, they also do a YouTube show called Citation Needed, which is where one of them hits the random article button on Wikipedia, and everyone else gets points depending on what they can say about the article from just the title, which did include things like talking about the Neckarwestheim nuclear power plant, which was interesting when none of them knew about it.
Okay. I don't know anything about it either.
Yeah, there we go.
Me neither.
So,
I've actually been listening to a new podcast recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
On the
subject of our previous conversation, Netrunner. It's a Netrunner podcast called Run Last Click, which is...
Okay, that's not one of the ones I've listened to.
Yeah, it's a couple of guys from down in London, I think they are. So it's a UK-based one. I can't remember what they're called now, but yeah, it's a good podcast. Well worth a listen.
Okay.
If you play Netrunner. If you don't play Netrunner.
Well, true.
Yeah, they actually did, the very first episode, they kind of went in for gung-ho, sort of whacking lyrical about Netrunner, and then they kind of came back in the second episode and said that kind of a lot of their actual friends and family, because they said for some reason it had been sort of shared through their personal Facebooks, a lot of their friends and family had actually listened to the podcast and said, oh yeah, you know, it's good, got good production value, this, that, and the other, but we don't actually know what you're talking about. So they went back, and the second show is kind of quite a good introduction to Netrunner, and if someone was interested in looking at kind of starting Netrunner as a complete beginner, I'd say listening actually to episode 2 of that Run Last Click is well worth a listen.
It does seem very weird in that in the world of War Machine, there are an awful lot of players on at the moment that are playing or have just picked up Netrunner. There seems to be something about that attracts War Machine players, and I don't know what it is.
I haven't.
Oh, well, no, you haven't.
You will do. You will do, Kip.
Cyberpunk type stuff, though. It is true.
Yeah. And
I'm a bit William Gibson fan.
That and all that sort of nonsense going together.
I'm more a 40K Dick fan, but I think that fits in rather well as well, from what I've heard.
Yes, no, there are definitely some references in there.
I've never looked at cards just from people talking about it. You kind of go, it just sounds it sounds like it's got a healthy dose of William Gibson and 40K Dick. And William Gibson, obviously, but and 40K Dick, potentially.
Is it Gibson that was Neuromancer, or I can't remember?
Neuromancer was Gibson, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the birth of all of this.
Yeah, I have been told that a lot of it is taken from there.
I got that from Alex quoting a rule to me earlier on. I was like, ice, a slice of ice. Is that include a countermeasure of electronics? And he was like, I don't know. It might be. I was like, that's Gibson.
Yeah.
I know that it's been nicked by tons of Japanese, like, cyberpunk and stuff, but it's still, cyberpunk started in Neuromancer, really. You could argue there's something before it, but I don't think there was, really.
I think that one has actually been acknowledged by Richard Garfield that was where it came from. So, I mean, the game is actually much older than its current incarnation anyway.
There's actually a lot at our local gaming club who's got quite a lot of the original cards.
Yeah, which are completely incompatible.
Yes.
And I think just completely different design, but a lot of the themes have carried over.
Well, it is in theory the same game. It's a very, very similar game.
Yeah.
A few elements have changed.
corporation stop.
Well, in the original game, it was that you were either just corp or runner. It wasn't that you had an individual identity. That is something new.
Well, this is why it's now Android Netrunner, because there's a universe that Fantasy Flight own that's called the Android Universe.
That's a big board game, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've kind of got... it's several board games now, because they've got Android Infiltration, Android Netrunner. It's a bit like the universe that's behind... I don't know if you've played it, The Resistance...
No.
Have you ever heard of the game Werewolf? We're going off on a complete side topic here. Ever heard of the game Werewolf?
No. The wolf? Who's the wolf, isn't it? He's working out who the werewolf is. Well, but and then somebody dies each turn, he's trying to work out who the wolf is.
Resistance is similar in that you have kind of your group of people, and then there will be either one or multiple traitors in there. It's a hidden identity game, and you've got to guess.
Right, so it's like Shadows of a Camelot and a bit like BSG, and when you try to work out.
Without the board game part, essentially.
Oh, no board. Yeah.
So literally, you decide who's going on a mission, and it will be either two or three people, and then the people on the mission will have cards that say pass or fail. And they can pass, well, if they're loyal, they must pass the pass once to the leader of the squad for that round. But the traitor can pass either pass or fail. And essentially, if you're loyal, you've got to get through three missions with everything being a pass. But if you're a traitor, you've got to have three missions that have a fail in there. And any one of those failing will cause the whole mission to fail. So, and it's a sort of mission to work out who the traitor or traitors in a group are. If you ever want to actually see it being played, there's a very good video of it on YouTube of a group run by Will Wheaton as part of Tabletop.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of role. It's a very light game, but largely just role play. But anyway, going back to it, that's part of the whole universe that they've got set there with that and Coup and a couple of other games. So it seems to be a very popular thing within these sort of small board game companies now, or even bigger, to Fantasy Flight, to actually say, okay, this is our universe where we own the IP of it, and now we will apply that to all these games.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know what to say to that, but yeah. It sounds cool. It does sound quite interesting. The Netrunner element of it, I think I need to play it with somebody at some kind of convention, which is what you were doing Chris, weren't you?
I've got a couple of older pre-made decks, and just we both managed to nearly deck out in both of our games. It really went down to the wire in both of them, and it kind of swung back and forth, and it was some very tense gaming, which I really do like that. It wasn't a matter of kind of, you know, we were playing for who won or lost, but it didn't really matter, and it was just two absolutely cracking games, which is good. The only problem I have is that I can't play tournaments. My head explodes because you kind of guess against yourself so many times. It is the ultimate game for analysis paralysis. Because
a bit like playing Echo in the new fucking Phantoms. Where am I going to put him? I don't know. I can't. I'll crash if I go that way.
Well, the thing is with Netrunner, a lot of the cards the corporation plays are face down. So the runner can't see them until they face plant into them. And it's about saying, okay, does the corporation have enough money to stop me? Well,
I generally, up until recently, I would have said I don't really do card games, despite the copious number of cards that are strewn on my table right now, but that's to do because they're attached to little spaceships.
That's fair enough.
Or for War Machine little models. High Command has definitely been a bit of a gateway for me, because I don't really do card games. I played a bit of Versus before. Versus is gone now, obviously. But that aside, generally don't do card games, but High Command has really got my attention.
It has always been said that War Machine is the tabletop equivalent of a TCG.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which, it's an interesting thing to lay at it. I mean, I do think it's kind of, it's a step down that road, and something like Summoner Wars is possibly the next step along, because that, it's a card game that's weirdly similar to War Machine, albeit very much more restricted on the board. It does use cards, but there is the whole concept of this is your army, if your leader dies, you lose. And then as you kind of go down the scale, you move from there to magic and so on. So there is kind of a sliding scale these days between miniatures and TCGs, which has not been prevalent before.
True. I mean, War Machine was the first thing I come across that had cards, but it just makes everything so convenient and X-Wing as well, to have at-a-glance rules at your side of the table.
Well, it's one of those things that's always...
Helps with army building as well, because I'm sat here right now looking at... building more things with my phantoms and oh god, I can't stop list building with phantoms and defenders.
It's always baffled me when I go to other games, I mean, especially going back to Infinity. You know, you start playing the game and you go, okay, so it's like a deck of unit cards. It's like, oh no, it's in the book. Huh. Well, are there any you could like print out? Or, and yet for Infinity, they have actually done a full range of unit cards you can print out, and they give you all the stats on cards, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's a
the Ballistic great one. Kind of does it, doesn't it? But it doesn't. Not, I mean, what was it? What's that game that I played? Confrontation. They had cards, didn't they, as well, on Confrontation. And Infinity, yeah, it had cards in the blister that were effectively the same thing, but yeah. Wasn't quite as well done as War Machine or X-Wing. But Infinity, you get something in the box, but it's not enough. It's not, it hasn't got enough detail on it. It's got picture written.
Infinity, you get an art card.
Yeah, true, that is what it is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I just feel like, well, just put the stats on. Mm. I mean, I realise that, yes, every model Infinity, there's a whole range of weapons and options, that's fine, but X-Wing's overcome that by having, you have your unit card, and that says there are slots for these attachments to this card, and you go, okay, well, I want to buy a missile, and I want to buy a droid, and I want to buy this, and you have other cards that go with it, so that for anything in the game, you just have your pile of cards, and you can go, right, what's that? It's this with these. Brilliant. And it's a great way of, like, you know, so you and your opponent know what's on the table at any one time, rather than having just off to the side a book that both of you have to go through. It's like, okay, so what's that? Well, it's these. Right, what's the stats for that? Okay, that one, page 52. Or was it 54? No, it's at the back. It's a reference sheet. Okay. No, that doesn't have the full stats with the special rules. Where are the special rules? Okay, they're in the first part. It just eliminates that whole layer of fiddliness that just applies to so many games.
Good.
I'm just ranting on about things now.
You're
just kind of chipping in things and going, well, Mike, what about this?
I'm just entertaining you. I'm just poking you with a stick every so often. I'm not doing anything else. I could get distracted by, hang on, 28 points left. 28 points. 28 points is either an Academy pilot and a very cheap bomber, or it's a Royal Guard with a stealth device and push the limit.
Fucking X-Wing.
No, we were actually talking about...
Briefly saying about X-Wing, but I wasn't going back to it wholesale.
Yeah, we were sort of more discussing the fact that the kind of the major difference between cards that between games that have unit cards and games that don't.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add to this discussion?
Does Bushido have unit cards?
Actually, that is a good point. Does it?
It does.
Does Bushido have miniatures?
It does.
Does it have dice?
It does.
Doesn't use cards for stuff and just fuck about like that. I don't understand that.
Are you laying nasturtiums at the feet of Malifaux here?
A little bit. I like dice too much.
There is something to be said for just being able to pick up a handful of D6 and sort of gently rolling them across the table.
Or D8s with little stars on. Yeah.
Well, yes, audience.
Here's an interesting question that was once posed to me.
Oh, dear.
Do you think any non-D6 game will ever be able to be mainstream?
Star Wars.
Fucking X-Wing. It sells out every wave.
Is it mainstream, though?
On ICV2, which is...
In fact, I think we may have already had this conversation.
Yes.
You quoted sales figures, didn't you?
Yeah, on ICV2, which is the industry standard sales thing, I believe it was number two.
Bushido's number one.
Wow.
Number one was 40K.
Yeah.
But the top five was those two, Hordes of War Machine, Warhammer Fantasy Battle. I believe it goes 1 40K, 2 X-Wing, 3 War Machine, 4 Fantasy Battle.
How are you finding mainstream, Alex?
I don't know, kind of...
My mum buying it?
Because if it is mum buying it, then X-Wing is in Waterstones.
Yeah, true, yeah.
And that is your big kind of, okay, it's gone beyond the hobby shops, it's now being sold.
Do you know, in Sussex, Waterstones is the best place to go and buy X-Wing.
That's nice.
There's some guy, I can't remember his name, I've read his name somewhere, some guy who works in Waterstones, it's his mission to make sure they've got a good stock of X-Wing, and every time I've gone down there, I've gone in there looking to see what they've got, because it's still kind of a bit backwater in Chichester, but I picked up Y-Wings when they were out of stock worldwide in there.
Actually, there has been a change. I was quoting the spring 2013.
Oh,
The autumn 2013 ones, because I can't find anything new at the moment. Yeah, that's actually quite surprising. Warhammer Fantasy Battles dropped out of the top five entirely.
Wow.
Now replacing it at number four is Attack Wing.
Oh, God, really?
So it goes 40K is the top-selling, then X-Wing Miniatures, War Machine, Attack Wing, and then Hordes.
Is that by pounds, dollars?
The chart of the top five non-collectible miniatures lines reflects sales in fall 2013, so I'm guessing American. The charts are based on interviews with retailers, distributors, and manufacturers.
Right.
So, and ICV2 are generally on the money with pretty much whatever they have to post that's stats-wise. So that is an interesting lineup, especially with, I mean, I can see why Attack Wing does well, because that's got the WizKids organized play system behind it.
And the ships are so nicely done and well painted.
Yeah, we don't go there. But I mean, compared to Fantasy Flight's backing for X Wing with organized play, the WizKids one is a step above. The game might not be as polished, but they're willing to go out there and do the groundwork so that...
Have giant versions of it at the expo.
I will say that was very nice.
It was impressive, wasn't it?
UK Games Expo, there was a version of Attack Wing where the ships were about 2.5-3 foot off the ground and were massive.
They were about a foot long. Each ship was about a foot. Instead of being an inch, it was a foot. It was almost translation of an inch to a foot.
The base was about a foot square?
Yeah, about that.
Maybe a bit more. But yeah, that was impressive. I mean, I've seen that touring American conventions. I didn't think they'd bring it over here.
It was huge. They weren't the only one playing giant versions of a game, though. There were other games there that I saw that were giant. I had no idea what they were.
Castle Panic.
What? I don't know. No idea what that is.
It's a board game. You have a castle. Orcs are advancing. You play cards to fire arrows at things. It's a very good light casual board game. But I did have a giant version of that just outside the hall where we were.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be Castle Panic. Also videoed for Tabletop with Will Wheaton. Not this is an advert for him or anything. But you know, if you didn't want to say,
got a bit thing going on there, haven't you?
Merch my way.
You're whoring yourself. I know about that kind of thing. I know it when I see it.
I was going to say, I actually do think that stuff like Tabletop is extremely important for the gaming hobby as a whole. I mean, they have had X-Wing on there. I mean, they didn't necessarily play with the entire rulebook, but they had that on there as just a kind of, okay, we're gamers, we love games, we want to talk to you about them. Here is essentially almost a little sort of chat show, which is based around the game we're playing at the moment. And they do get on random celebs to play games with them and have fun with it. And it's kind of that thing where board games and tabletop games have moved out from being the back room with very nerdy nerds to being something for everyone. And opening that up to a wider world, and in some cases, especially for myself, showing some stuff that you might not have seen. I mean, it's the mainstream of board gaming, but again, I knew nothing before I started watching some of these. So
In fairness, I didn't really know much about any of these newer things until I started listening to things like D6G and those kind of podcasts as well, which is a similar kind of way in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the whole idea of the barrier of entry into gaming itself. It's finding out where to get the information from.
Barrier of entry.
Yeah, barrier to
easy
entry.
Easy to apologise and ask permission. Yeah. I might lower the tone somewhat there.
Just a little.
What was the tone ever outside the gutter?
Do you know what I like about Attack Wing? One thing I like about Attack Wing. I like the coloured bases you can buy for Attack Wing.
You can get those for X-Wing as well.
They're the same ones, they're just made for Attack Wing.
Oh, they're just made for Attack Wing?
They're made for Attack Wing. I've got a set of red ones, and I've ordered some more red ones for more TIE Fighters.
You can go absolutely wild with some of the accessories you can get. Stuff like the Litco flying bases. And
what?
Well, you can get... I'm fairly sure...
I've got Litco movement, like, things, guys.
I'm fairly certain it was Litco who did the telescopic ones.
What, so you can up and adjust the heights so they don't collide?
Yeah.
Excuse me while I distort because I'm using the internet.
But there's a whole host of stuff. They do deluxe flying stands. And they've already got the huge ship maneuver set out, which are rather odd. And
barrel roll markers. What's the point in that? You don't need a marker, you've done a barrel roll. Maneuver dial. I can't see those. It's really good podcast material of me sat here looking for stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So the different flight stands, deluxe flight stands. Okay, there they are. What are those then?
Oh, they're not the telescopic ones, sadly.
What's deluxe about them? They look like clear plastic. The Colored Flights Dance, so it's a similar kind of thing.
They use a different clipping system as well, and apparently they're easier to get the markers on and off and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I won't bother with that. I've ordered some more red ones, because I bought some in Firestorm Games, not that we're an advert for them either. Although we do like Firestorm Games.
Yes, we do. Rob's lovely. He seems to have things in stock.
And tells you when they're not in stock, and just the whole change in their system is awesome. Where you order stuff, and it tells you what's going on. Oh, this has been picked off the shelf. This has been shipped. Yay.
Well, you kind of have to these days if you're going to compete in that sort of market.
Well, they weren't, and you spend half your time going, Rob, what's going on with this order, Rob? And somebody else would come back to you and go, it's not in stock. I'm like, okay, well, thanks for telling me.
Everything's broken. Leave me alone.
Yeah. So anyway, the topic...
Yeah, we were supposed to be talking about something today. I'm very sure.
Yeah, we had a topic for this podcast, didn't we?
We were, but we've somewhat strayed from that.
Shall we have a break and then come back and do kind of painting tables and other things that we could think we need to do at the end?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
We'll see you all on the other side.
Bye.
Right, welcome back. We've kind of had a little bit of a break here, which was nice, after that intense rambling.
And then we need to digress back into X-Wing again.
Well, though we did, just in the break.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's why Alex is very quiet now. Start talking about again.
Right, well, have we woken you up again, dear?
Do you not like Star Wars at all, Alex? You're just not like us rambling all about X-Wing at length?
No, well, I don't dislike Star Wars. I don't particularly dislike X-Wing. It just, I've never had the opportunity to play the game, and I'm sure if I did play the game, as has happened with Netrunner, I would get very much excited about it.
Do you know what the worst thing is? You live near probably the biggest playgroup for X-Wing in the UK.
Which is where?
Which is the North Coast Gaming Centre.
Oh, okay.
Because they run rather regular events, because I believe Tony Moore posted about them quite a lot.
Okay.
So, although to be honest, it does seem like a good place to try most things these days, being a big gaming shop with access to what is now quite a lot of stock. But anyway, we're not advertising for them, and we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the hobby table.
A painting table.
It was a painting table, but now it's turned into a hobby table.
Oh, okay.
Because now it can have anything on there.
Don't say that. Just open the floodgates there. Quick, close them. Too late. It's much too late. Oh!
So, let's start with Alex, because he's left most on my screen at the moment. What's on your hobby table?
Not a lot at the minute. I kind of cleared it all off, but I have been building some snake people for Bushido recently.
Ooh.
Been making some bases with a few little snakes that I've sculpted on there with a bit of green stuff, which are quite nifty.
Any of those posted to Twitter, or are you just keeping those?
I did a few days ago post them up when I built them kind of towards the start of last week, in fact. So they have been kind of sat built on my desk for some time, but I've got one primed. It's one of the general kind of fighter. So yeah, I might try and get some painting done, but completely unrelated to any comments on the internet today. I've tried to kind of stay away from doing anything while recording, just to make sure I can give my podcast and, you know, reduce the noise in the background, really. And
you've definitely reduced the noise in the background, but you've definitely drifted off and been concentrating on other things while we've been recording.
Well, I've been having a few issues with my PC today. It's not been necessarily me drifting off. It's maybe been my PC drifting off and deciding to shut down on me.
That's not good. I would have a word with the person you got it from, Foxy.
Personally, I think it's
some dodgy internet retailer, no doubt.
It does sound like it to me. Yeah, you should be more careful.
Cowboy, you definitely should be
You Wait. Should be more careful, Alex.
Yeah, I just charged too much for what I've been given, really.
Yeah, you did. I did. They did. Yeah.
Fair enough. Anything else on the hobby table, or anything you've been playing recently, or other than Netrunner?
Not really. I'm trying to think, really, if I have been doing anything. But no, I've just been playing Netrunner. I discovered something called Octagon as well, which is kind of like Vassal for Board and War Machine players who
know what Vassal
is. But for card games, so I've been playing a lot of
OCTGN, I believe.
OCTGN, yeah, Octagon. Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of that. You know, it's quite good. There's, you know, I think if you advertise yourself as a beginner, people tend to take it easy on you and not too bad. I think with any online community, there are the fair share of how should we say this, dicks. But nice. From what I've heard other people saying, at least anyway. But I've not myself as of yet experienced.
If you can't get face to face games, it's a decent route to go. I mean, I struggle with it because I find it hard to keep my interest going when I haven't got someone else sitting across the table from me. When you're just kind of communicating in text or by audio for a card game that exists only on your screen. I can fully understand that other people may enjoy stuff like Vassal or OCTGN, but it's never
good. I installed Vassal from...
It is a good tool.
I'll wait for my turn, yeah.
You wait for your turn.
I'll wait for my turn. It's like a poignant moment. I was like, no, actually, wait for my turn.
I'll just steamroll over you. That's fine.
You could try.
Are you gonna go, Kurt? Are you gonna try?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I wouldn't have anything more to add, Alex. If you needed more,
No, nothing too much more exciting going on, really. Not really.
Were you going to expand on Vassal there, Kurt? Or?
I played War Machine or Vassal before, not many times, but a few here and there. And I installed Vassal on my laptop at the weekend and installed the many modules and plugins necessary to play X-Wing.
I think you went through that tutorial link to you.
I did, went right through the tutorial. I also looked at another page full of tutorial for it as well. And ended up playing the board out and playing against myself instead, in order to play about with the new Phantoms, because the movement's weird and it just messes with my head. I couldn't theorise it anymore. I wanted to do it on the table.
Well, X-Wing, just to go back to it, Alex, you may want to nap for a second. But this is a common thing with a lot of those games that use that style of movement. Once you know what the templates are and what any one move can do, you can kind of visualize the six or seven places that something might end up, whereas the new ship, what was it you said, has 90 possible landings?
Well, the Phantom apparently has got 45 potential landing locations with its movement dial plus if it decloaks, so it gets to kind of move or barrel roll and then move, and then you could barrel roll again if you wanted to. So you have 45, but one of the character pilots has... uses a different template, so therefore it doubles the number of potential locations it can be in after it decloaks. So, and there's lots of variations to all of those as well, because barrel rolls aren't straight, so they can be at all different kind of angles. So Echo can end up in anywhere in 90 locations.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to reading the card and working out what it meant, and I was like, I'm not sure I've got this. And even though, go back to Team Covenant again, because they've got very good X-Wing coverage, somebody's theorized it and given you a map of where all of Echo's decloak positions can be. And there are six different positions just from the decloak with variations for the barrel rolls. It's huge. And so I wanted to just do it. I wanted to play silly games against myself, which obviously you never kind of balanced and fair, because obviously I know what's going on both sides of the dials, but it was really just to see how good Echo could be. And yeah, very, very good. Confusing as hell, and that's with me knowing what's going on both sides, let alone actually just sitting opposite him is going to be horrible.
Okay. Cool. So, has anything else been going on? I'm presuming you're finished now, Alex. Or have you got anything else? Or
no, I'm done.
Okay. Sounds so upbeat about that. So, Kurt, anything else going on in your hobby life?
Not particularly. A few more trolls arrived from my new purchases, but apart from that, and they're still sat in their blisters. No, it's a short version. I haven't sat at my desk, as I've been more horizontal for the last week or so. But prior to that, I wasn't really into it. I need to get back into it when I recover and get some quality Skype painting time, I think.
See, for me, over the last 2 weeks, there's been an awful lot of board gaming, just with a couple of weekends away and playing down the club. So one of the new ones I've picked up is, it was actually from UK Games Expo. It's called For Sale. And it's rather deceptive when you kind of get at the box. There's two decks of 30 cards and some coins. And it basically turns into this weird Turbo Monopoly variant, where you kind of, the first part of it is you're all bidding for these numbered properties 1 to 30. But if you drop out, you only pay half your total bid and get the lowest one on the table. And then the second half, you've got your handful of properties and you lay one down each and then reveal. And there's kind of a mechanic where the top property that's gone down gets one of four checks that are in the middle, that are kind of varied from naught to $15,000. And you total up your money at the end. Very good game. Very short. Very light. Enjoyable by all. And
that sounds a bit like, with a completely different fluffiness, but the way you're laying cards down and whoever's got the height, it sounds a bit like Cash and Guns. And the whole way that it's short rounds and, yeah, it's a bit kind of, but not, in a way that is obviously quite brief and fun with alcohol.
Well, we actually need to start getting, after about like the third game, start getting a bit vicious with it, because there's the whole mechanic of, let's say there's four properties out, and it's like number 1, 4, 15, and 25. Well, everyone wants the 25, but no one wants to put too much money in, because you're always going to have to pay half of your bid for the lowest one if you drop out when it comes back round to you. So everyone's kind of...
So much sense to me.
Pardon?
This game makes so much sense to me.
How I'm confused. I have to admit, I've disengaged.
I'm very, very confused at the moment. But
it's something that's really easy to play, but it's kind of a little difficult to explain.
Yeah, it can often be that way. And a lot of these games out there, you can kind of be a little bit apprehensive about. And there's a couple of guys down at the club who have been bringing down some sort of different board games and things. And I've been playing a bit of Dominion as well, thinking about it now, and some Carcassonne and things like that. And it's nice to have them as a bit of a palate cleanser to change what you're playing every now and again.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you ever need not quite a palate cleanser, but a palate defiler more than anything. One of the games that I've been playing more often than not recently. Most people have heard of it. Cards Against Humanity? No? Okay.
Yes, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know what it is, though. Okay. It's a zombie game.
No, not quite. You have two decks of cards. One black, one white. You have a hand of 10 white cards, and these are just words or phrases.
Oh, hang on. You posted some of this on Twitter.
Yes. Then you have a deck of black cards.
Oh, God.
Which will be things like...
I knew there was another idea we have for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, one of the cards is, during sex, I like to think about blank. And the person who turns it is will read that out, and everyone else around the table has to kind of get one white card from their hand, put it face down in the middle, they're shuffled all up, and the person whose turn it is will read them out one by one and decide which one wins the round. So my answer for that one that I decided was the winner was, I think, 1,000 Scottish warriors all lifting their kilts in unison. The other good option being rubbing Boris Johnson's belly until he falls asleep.
How many players need to play it?
Well, we've played with as low as 3, but it's suggested between 4 and 9. It's a great game to play while people are slightly hammered, because it's very simple.
I've just searched for it on eBay, and the things are party game for horrible people and drinking game and... other subjects suggested.
There is if you go to cardsagainsthumanity.com, there is a free PDF version you can print out, or you can buy it for about £20. It's not an expensive game. However, be prepared if you have friends that are sensitive flowers, to lose those friends very quickly.
I don't have one of those friends anyway.
Basically, you have to be prepared to be the most awful person, say the worst thing, and also, whenever the school trip was completely ruined by blank appears from the black deck, it's always a race to see who has either Jimmy Savile or... what's the other one? It's gone. But yeah, it's always a race to see as Jimmy Savile on that hand, because that just wins.
There's a lot of expansions.
Oh, yeah. And they're good, and they're all ridiculous. I mean, the cards do range from the mundane to the blatantly offensive. Like, for instance, my answer to the question, they said it couldn't be done, but I did it. Yes, I put blank into blank, where I maintained that I'd put the entire cast of Downton Abbey into a balanced breakfast.
Nice.
So it depends on how stupid you're feeling at the time. And yeah, it's a very simple game. 10 points to win, and each black card that you win is 1 point. It's good in short bursts.
Cool. I'm now struggling to buy it on eBay.
Well, believe it or not, that will be the sixth copy that I have persuaded people to buy at this point. Despite, and this is the worst part, not owning a copy myself. All I've done is play other people's copies or recommend it to them, and they've gone, let's have a look at this PDF you've printed out. Oh, that's funny. That was really good. That one, oh, you can't say that. For instance, one of the white cards is Jade Goody's Cancerous Remains. That one's been played quite often, and it is ridiculously offensive. The UK edition does also feature a white card that just says Madeleine McCann.
And this is a podcast, I'm laughing about that.
Yeah.
It could be something about Madeleine McCann's parents.
Well, interesting enough, you do get some blank black and white cards in some editions to add your own. My favourite one from the weekend was there's a black card that is blank plus blank equals blank. And I had the perfect concoction for this, which was 72 virgins plus puberty equals concealing an erection. It was the best combination you could have for that.
Good.
So, yeah.
Alex, you're still with us. This sounds awesome.
Yes, I am still with you. I'm being contacted by a certain... Adam,
Mr. Yeah, Hawk. I saw that on Twitter.
And I don't know if he's trolling me or not.
But Adam said, just listen to the cast, what minigame is the new up-and-comer that you were looking forward to? And I was like, you, Mike, I think. It was about our preamble at the beginning, I think. What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Okay, so
Battle of Saul, but we did that.
Yeah.
The expansion for High Command, the other box set, but we kind of did that as well, that it's got mercs and stuff in it. And it's got, has it got Cirrus as well as the elves? Is that what it's got? It's got Cult of Cirrus, elves, and two merc factions in it, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, I don't remember what we're talking about in the intro, which is probably a sign that we should start.
I think you've drunk too much. That's what's a sign of.
I haven't drunk enough.
Totally is.
I think he's posting things as we're talking here.
He's listening.
No, I'm getting rapid fire emails of people commenting on the video, which is nice, but not.
It's not people; it's one person.
Well, yes, and not at half ten, half 11. Good grief! Yes, when referring to person, we're referring to ex-co-host Nick Topham.
Oh God!
Exiled to the north to live out the rest of his life.
North of the Wall.
Yes. So, anyway.
I haven't watched enough Game of Thrones to know what that really means.
You really should watch more.
Or read more.
I've watched like a season and a half and got bored halfway through season two and went, oh, God, is this still going?
But before we ramble on even more, because I would like some sleep, that's a hint.
Have you got to go to work tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, I have. Alex.
Yes.
Would you like to sign us off?
You've been listening to Hordes and War Machine, the Netrunner podcast that Elite Card Race is not too seriously.
Nice.
I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
I've actually been Alex, not Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Bye.
Bye, Nick.
Bye.
No, bye, Nick.
What are we going to buy, Nick?
There we go.
I've got £5, he can go buy himself a clue. Gosh. I just like that line. What can I say?
You've been listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. Email us at elitecadrepodcast@gmail.com. Find the whole team on Twitter at bit.ly/elitecadre. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/elitecadre. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. This podcast is part of the Muse on Minis network. Find out more at museonminis.com.
And now, in a world of perfect production and seamless transitions, we bring you the chaos that lurks beneath the surface. These are the Easter eggs.
Might have ended up because you announced it.
I didn't really announce it. I just didn't delete the public from it because I've now learned.
You put it on Twitter on Saturday or something, didn't you? Sunday.
Oh, yes. No, it's more that I now know where I've got to put groups of people in order that you two can join the call, but everyone else can only listen. If you see what I mean. No, Alex, we can't hear you.
So it wasn't just that we're ignoring you, but we can if you like.
I've only just seen that thing in the chat.
I didn't see it. I don't see it now. Where is the chat? I can't even see it.
On mine, it's on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, there's a bar that pops out. Click the blue one.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Violinist. No, that's not it. Where's the actual chat window? Where's the thing? Where's the thing cleaner?
It's on the right-hand side once you press the
blue
button.
This video call. What video call? That video call. Ah, I haven't launched the window properly. Okay, I have, but I launched it twice. Yes, I think I launched it twice.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Alex.
It was behind.
Hello. Yes, I think the call must have crashed. Right, I have the temperatures for my computator.
Right, what are they reading?
HD0 is 34 degrees. Core 34 degrees, core 0 34 degrees, core 1 29, core 2 34, core 3 30.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, that is actually cooler than mine.
It's pretty good.
And I am the man with a variable speed fan controller at the start of his computer. Well, at the front of his computer, rather.
So it's not that, then?
No. Next most likely issue is probably going to be drivers.
Or Windows, yeah. Is Windows 7, though, sat on a standard Dell small form factor?
What number do you know?
What number?
755?
No, a bit newer than that. I probably ripped the sticker off.
No, they're not on a sticker. They should be on the front of the case.
Yeah, which is a sticker.
Yeah, there is nothing on the front of the case.
Oh, God.
It says Dell.
I can't remember. Because I built it ages ago, and then actually I didn't see each other for ages. So I didn't touch it. I can't remember if it's a dual or quad core, even. I think it's a dual, which would imply like a 760 or something like that.
Okay. Most common failure point for Dells... Graphics driver or motherboard drivers?
Would that make it spontaneously reboot, though? It would give you Windows startup issues.
Graphics driver would.
Would it, after a while? Yeah. It's onboard graphics.
Yeah. You forget what onboard graphics mean these days. Onboard graphics means
somebody else's chipset that they've bought in. Yeah.
So if you're not running the most recent drivers for that, probably needs an update.
How do I do that?
Need to ask them what kind of PC it is. So Windows will tell you what kind of PC it is, it should do. Oh, talking that.
The best thing you can do is, on the back of your machine is something called the service tag.
Oh yeah, that was there.
If you go to dell.com/support and put your service tag in on there, it will take you to a list of all the most recent drivers for your machine.
Fucking hell, that's a clever idea. You can do like this for a living properly, don't you? Anymore?
Let's have a look.
How many years have I supported Dells for?
Is a service tag a little barcode thing?
Yeah, with a number that starts with three or four letters with several numbers afterwards.
It should be 7 to 8 numbers and letters. Normally on...
Sounds good.
You might not want to read that out on the podcast, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we can all now put that into Dell and find out. Oh, shit. Is it...
Oh, my phone's ringing. 1 second.
Right, so that can't go out on the recorded thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will block that, don't worry.
Because that will...
Yeah, no, I know. I know what you're talking about, yes.
Good. That would be bad.
Yes.
For me and my life.
would this be like a certain chat that we had about a courtroom? That
Positively. I don't remember that chat. I wiped that from my own head, let alone the podcast.
I'll tell you at some other point when we're not being recorded.
Yes, yeah. And not live streamed that nobody's listened to.
There's one listener.
Is it Jimmy?
I neither know nor care.
I think Jimmy said it was him last time, but he would claim that, wouldn't he?
He would.
Hello, not Jimmy.
Hello.
Hello.
So why have I been saying that number on the interwebs?
There are several reasons why you might not want to read that out, and we will explain them at some point, but it's tedious for now.
So I'm going to dell.com/support.
You might not want to do this now.
Okay.
Because, you know, some of the drivers aren't quite...
Yeah, I'm not going to download anything at this stage, but I just...
If you want to go to... just dell.com/support.
Okay, so I'm putting this service tag that I've not revealed to the whole entire internet.
Not much.
Absolutely not.
Into this thing here.
Yep.
So it could contain numbers and or letters.
So I watched quite a lot of Glastonbury weekend. It was really good.
Was it?
It was.
Excellent. Not my thing, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Do you want really? Well, not Glastonbury Festival at all? Well, not music in general?
I mean, I like music. I listen to music, and that's fine. It's just that unless I'm at a live performance, very often I'd like to listen to the studio version. There are exceptions. The MTV Unplugged stuff, which was all good acoustic recordings.
Yeah, I'm mostly, yeah.
Excuse me, boys. Before I proceed, am I allowed to tell you about what I see on my screen?
We don't know what's on your screen, so that makes it a bit hard to judge, doesn't it?
Drivers up to date for optimal performance, and then there's a box that says show me driver updates by ... system analysis or service tag.
Service tag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Service tag will tell you about the original configuration. How much work did you do on this, Kurt? Was it just a rebuild of the OS? Or?
It was stick Windows 7 on it, and I think I already had ripped out. I think it was original. I think it might even be a quad, and so I'm not quite sure. That might be a 780. Yeah, actually now it's coming back. But I did rip out the daughter board, which had twin. I think we had when we ordered them, they had twin HDMI ports coming out of it, and I knew that wouldn't be suit.
You can dual head back to one.
Yeah, I know. I pulled those out entirely and went back to VGA.
Yeah.
Right. Now it says here drivers for service tag, etc., etc. Here are the recommended drivers for your service tag. You can modify the list using these selectors. There's operating system, category, importance, release date. Well, then it goes on to all the different drivers. Now, there are, on my screen here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, are they 5 that need to be updated, or are they just...
5. They're just 5 that it needs to have.
Right, okay. So, Alex,
you do not necessarily need to install every driver off this site.
No, that's what I'm thinking, is how do I know what I've got installed?
It doesn't particularly matter what you've got installed, okay? What matters more is that you know you are on the most recent version of a couple of the important ones.
Okay, and how do I know that?
Right. The two most important ones to have are the graphics card or graphics chipset or...
I've got Intel GMA HD graphics.
Which will be that one.
Okay.
And the motherboard.
Now I've got the other ones. I've got a Dell Optiplex 780 System BIOS A15.
This is fascinating.
That might need installing later, but go on.
There's a TSST TS/LS33C 12.7 SATA Trayload 8x DVD RW.
That's a good writer.
There's an Intel AMT HECI chipset driver.
HECI?
HECI, hecky.
That sounds devastatingly familiar, but I'm not...
I have no idea what that is.
Host Embedded Controller Interface.
And the last one on there is the Intel Matrix Storage Manager, version 8.9.0.1023.
Baseboard Manager Controller.
Good.
Yeah, Hecky, that's what you want.
So it's the Hecky and the graphics driver that I need to...
Yeah.
So how do I check that they are up to date? Because both of those have got an update on the 21st of March 2014, which would suggest they're not up to date.
Now, just because the drivers there were from March does not necessarily... Kurt, when you installed this, did you just take the default Windows ones or the ones off the installation CD or...?
Windows 7, so it sorts everything out for you. I don't think I sorted anything else.
Right, so they'll be the initial drivers.
Most likely.
Whatever you
if they are Dell ones, they'll be 12 months old or so.
Hello?
Yeah. Whatever you have on that site, Alex, will probably be more up to date than what you have, so I would advise installing both of those. Because Windows Update, while it will get a machine running, and a lot of the time it will keep it running, has the occasional blip where it will just install a version of the driver that's about 5 out of date, never updates it, and just sort of fiddle farts around breaking all the time.
So how do I know if I have got the up-to-date ones downloaded? Is there no way of finding out? Do I just have to re-download them?
There is, but the quickest way to do it is actually just download the driver and reinstall it. That is faster than finding out the version number half the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do that.
You've got is a man from the NHS who deals with computers, and someone who's a paid sysadmin.
Oh, yeah, no, I completely trust your...
Oh, I was for a long time.
How dare you? He just said the magic words. He completely trusts us. We can abuse this.
No, I don't... Not Well, no, but if, don't be ridiculous. No, but if you're telling me that my drivers need updating, then that...
What I'm saying to you, it's the most likely cause of random crashes.
I mean, is there any way to... Is there any, like, error log that you can go in to find out
why? There is the event viewer, but without several hours to trawl through it, that's a whole realm of pain.
Okay.
That's the one that, you know, these calls, that these scammers that sort of phone up and say, yeah, hello, we're from Microsoft, we've detected viruses on your computer, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
They will take people to the event viewer and go, look for things with red triangles. Do you with the red crosses? Do you see them? And they'll get people
yes.
Go through the errors and they'll try and convince them that those are viruses. And it's kind of a way of kind of.
I've got lots. Help.
Yeah. And the problem is the average PC. Will have 20 or 30 of those that are absolutely meaningless.
Well, three or four, but they're enough, aren't they? 20 or 30 is quite a lot.
Well, it depends on what time scale you look, because if you do the right filtering on that log, you can get to say pretty much anything you want from the
true. Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
And there are some very complex filtering tools on there, which I probably should use more often in my job, but don't. But there we go.
Anyway, so that little fiasco out of the way.
Yes, this has been your tech support. We'll bill you later.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I thought.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Any more important or pertinent information that I can reveal to the whole of the internet? I might, actually. I've just received a new debit card today, and I posted a picture of the front and back on Twitter. Just to show how grateful I was.
Would you like to, on the podcast, reveal your... Have you received the PIN code notification yet? You could read it out to all our listeners.
The thing came so quickly. I scratched that off and posted a picture of that yesterday.
Wow.
Taking
a picture of that is quite challenging.
I love the fact that there is a Twitter feed specifically for people who have posted up their debit cards and credit cards online.
What?
And it's a Twitter feed that literally, there's one guy who scours Twitter and looks for people who've posted photos and retweets their credit cards on his Twitter feed as just a sort of, this person's an idiot, this person's an idiot, this person is an idiot. It's just people going, I love the design of my new custom credit card from Barclays.
Yeah, there is a lot of that because obviously Barclays do the, yeah.
Yeah, well, it used to be mainly an American thing, but it's kind of moving over here. It's like they used to have personalised checks, and I don't think we ever did.
Yeah, you can still.
You used to.
Not so much, I don't think.
I'll be honest, the last time I think I used a check was like my first year of university. When, and get this, you could still buy things over eBay with a check.
Yes.
I used to pop down to the post office, post off my check, and 2 to 3 weeks later, Ian would arrive my item, I'd be all excited, brilliant.
Wasn't really brilliant though, was it?
No, it really wasn't. And then PayPal came along, I was like, oh yeah, this enables me to divest myself of all my money far quicker.
Yeah, it really does.
I do know a friend who would wake up some mornings, just sort of open his eyes, see the debit card next to him, see eBay open on the computer and go, oh, what did I buy when I got home from the pub?
I thought, right up to the point of pub, what did I buy when I was drunk? That would be me. I bought so much stuff on eBay especially, because it's just, now I've linked my PayPal to my eBay, you just go click, click, oh shit!
Shit, I just bought it.
Oh, I didn't mean to go that far. I should have bought some lovely X-Wing tokens in acrylic, which are lovely, but I don't need them.
And they've come from Japan.
No, they're British made. It's fine.
No, I do quite fancy was it the Team Covenant ones, because they're doing like the mini range rulers, and they're doing the ones for the big ships soon as well.
I like the tokens that I got from a UK place. I got UK tokens from a UK place, and I've got plastic acrylic like range things, but yeah. Team Covenant stuff is very cool, and yeah, it gets very tempting. But sitting there watching their pre-release openings of all the new ships was awesome. I missed all that from Monster Apocalypse when we used to do that. It's so much more polished now.
The tokens for X-Wing are still my main bugbear with the game, because there's so much bookkeeping on the table. It's just I just wish it was a bit simpler at times.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize the system works very well. It's just making sure it's like, okay, that's moved. Okay, what? There's an S target lock here. Who had that?
If you don't keep up with moving stuff, it gets very, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
If you order stuff from Tomb Covenant, let me know and I'll jump in on a bull corner.
Well, I'm waiting for the first person to do the range 5 acrylic ruler, because that's going to be interesting to ship.
Yeah, have it survive the shipping.
Yeah, have you seen that yet?
Yeah.
Measuring from the...
I own the shuttle. I own the Calamari cruiser thing, yeah. But I haven't bought the alternative.
But yeah,
I haven't bought the alternative.
Measuring...
It's Calamari.
Well, no, the Mon Cal cruiser is entirely different. That's the kind of more bulbous one from Return of the Jedi.
The transport, sorry, is what I meant, is Calamari as well.
Is it?
Yeah, could it's be. One of the first things they made. One of the first things they shipped out of the shipyard.
Design looks a bit right, but okay, fair enough.
Before they made the warships. It's before they'd fully come over to the Rebellion for build warships.
Okay, that makes sense. I've still yet to use the transport. I don't know.
I haven't. I've got it. I've made room for it in my case and everything, but I haven't yet to play it. I'm too obsessed with... We'll talk about it later, but I'm too obsessed with, like, Defenders and Phantoms.
I want the Headhunter and the E-Wing. The E-Wing...
I've been very sad today. I've sat here playing X-Men against myself today just so I can get Echo around the right way in my head. Have you read the rules for the Phantom Echo?
Oh, is this the bizarre one that's got, like, you barrel roll, but you can barrel roll on a curve or something?
So when you decloak, you barrel roll two-speed straight movement for a standard Phantom. Echo does it with a two-bank maneuver, so that gives him 6 potential positions, plus, obviously, the variation off of his decloak, and then he gets to move.
Okay.
So I have been playing X-Wing against myself with an E-Wing and a couple of X-Wings. I tried with the Falcon and stuff, but actually they just ripped the Falcon to bits. And I've just had Empire lose for the first time, or they were pretty much about to lose, because I just was fucking it up all over the place. I think the lower end Phantoms aren't worth it, but Echo's awesome. But it's a head, just messes with your head. He's very, very good. But yeah, Team Covenant have got an awesome page about where he decloaks and where he can move to, and there are 90 potential positions that plus the variations, plus the barrel roll that you can do off the back of, and including the barrel rolls, but plus the deviation, the variations on the barrel rolls from Echo. It's 40-odd for a standard Phantom, they're at 90 from Echo.
It's pretty crazy. But then again, that's kind of the intention, and it's like it's doing a good job of making the game different.
Yeah, it's good. Echo's going in almost every list now.
Have you seen the model for the Decimator?
Yeah, it was not a very good picture of it, but yeah.
I looked at the Decimator and thought, I might have to get some Imperials just so I can have a reason to have the Decimator.
I'm still buying Rebel stuff because of the cool upgrade cards that continually keep going. So I've still bought 2 E-Wings. It's just about one.
It is getting to the point now where I think I actually genuinely need to start organising those cards, because I've just got tons of the things.
I kind of keep the droids together and I keep the ones that I predominantly use Empire together, and the ones that have nothing to do with Empire in with the Rebel stuff. And
see, I have a bit of an organisational not obsession, but it's close, where I kind of sit there and things have to be categorised, and then they have to be alphabetised within the category.
No, I have a stack of droids. I don't care what order they're in.
No.
It's not that many droids. It's not 20, so it doesn't matter.
No, things must be done properly or not at all.
No, I can't be arsed. I'll just go looking for
it. You know what? Right, the last time I went out and played a game, we didn't have enough time at the end of club, so I kind of had to just go and shove everything back in the box. When I got home, even though it was half midnight on a work night, I had to sit there and make sure the box was organised before I went to bed, because otherwise I knew it would bother me and I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Fucking hell.
That's how bad it is.
Oh dear.
I know I have a problem, but at least I, you know, that's the first step.
Recognize the problem is the first step. What's that?
I'm sorry, Alex, you were saying something about doing an actual podcast.
Yeah, podcast, we can do that. we're doing Easter eggs, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, if you've listened recently, which you don't. Go on.
Sorry, what?
Is my service tag one of the Easter eggs?
No.
So what would people be able to do with?
No, let's talk about this somewhere else.
Yeah. No, there are reasons we will explain these to you.
At the end.
Yeah.
I'll happily explain it at the end when we're not broadcasting and recording.
So Kurt, before we go into the discussion, what was sort of the general gist of it? of the discussion you wanted to have that you've been talking about with Adam.
Oh, I see.
Competitive versus...
I had a work moment then, because I worked with a guy called Adam as well. I was like, what the fuck? My worlds are overlapping. What?
Is this Mr. Ice Tea Tremblay you're talking about?
Yes. So he and I were having his kind of, that we should, he was his, what did he say? He wasn't franchise. He was doing something with our podcast. I think he was talking about doing smaller podcasts, but I lost interest at some point on the conversation. But it's probably Adam listening now, and he's probably laughing. It was around casual play, and about, I was talking about how the UK scene is kind of fractured. It's two, really, UK War Machine, where you have... the serious, quote-unquote serious events, where the competitive players attend and want points and get into British, whatever it's called. And they're all very happy about that. And there's the more casual, which is still, you know, competitive play, but the more casual events, which I would have said the UK Games Expo, even though it's a Masters, falls into that, even though there are a certain amount of competitive attendance.
Okay. Well, I think we can discuss that, and we can sort of like do that as it comes. However, before we start, you may want to click that Instagram link.
What Instagram link?
The one in the chat.
Am I going to get fucking rickrolled now?
Nope.
I've been rickrolled in months.
You like it?
The Nile is streaked with blood. Something's burning over the shadow of sprawling thousands. Oh my God, it's the Four Horsemen. I knew, well, that's not telling me anything I didn't know, but very cool.
It tells you the script is there.
True.
So, just for those that are kind of listening to this on the Easter eggs, if you can hear, this is X-Men Apocalypse, which Kurt and I are kind of looking forward to be honest.
I have, very nearly, on more than one occasion, and actually, I've been talked out of it by Conrad, nearly bought. There's some very good X-Men Apocalypse collections. There are in four parts. The whole collection is like £90. I've nearly bought it more than once. I still might at some point.
Devoted man.
Right, might buy it later if I get drunk. Well, I'll probably buy two parts and read those. Buy the middle two, which is probably supposed to read first. And then, because the first one's a prequel, it kind of gives it away. Right. X-Men Apocalypse, awesome.
Should we start?
Yeah.
Who needs a topic?
I can't eat them, and I've got dairy in anyway.
What?
I can't eat them. They have dairy in anyway.
Oh,
I know! So this has been the most successful non-topic podcast we've ever done, I think.
Yes. No, that's quite correct.
Because we usually go, oh, we've got a subject, not doing it. Whereas this time, we haven't got a subject, and we did it anyway, without meaning to, and it's actually been quite good.
Yeah, I think there's been some legitimate discussion in there. Yeah.
Some of it you just talking about Netrunner at length on your own. But apart from that, that's some of it you've got me talking about X-Wing on my own for a while. And I've had two cans of cider, and I can tell from hearing my own voice. I do like the Defender. I wish they were a bit cheaper.
How many points are there?
30 points for the cheapest one. Yeah, but they are 3-3-3-3.
Yeah.
And you can put heavy laser cannon on them and they become amazing. They're awesome. They are better than the fire... I think they're going to do less fire sprays because of this thing. It's smaller, it doesn't crash into stuff, and it shoots like a fire spray. Not backwards, but cover everything.
I'm still waiting for something for the Y-Wing.
What do you mean?
I can't put the Y-Wing or the A-Wing on the table. They just don't seem to do much.
Y-Wing is a tank to draw fire. It is nothing else. It's got tons of wounds, and it doesn't die quickly, but that's all you got, I'm afraid. It's all right. A-Wing doesn't put out enough firepower. I've got two A-Wings. They are not in, they're in the box, but they are shoved in a corner somewhere off their bases because they're tiny and they fit anywhere. But I can't. E-Wings are the miracle mix of the X-Wing and the A-Wing.
The A-Wing comes back, I think, in the new one.
Will it get so cheap? Yeah.
No, I was thinking, well, you can either make it cheaper or you can have those missiles that allow you to add your agility to a single shot.
Ooh.
So essentially, up close, you would have five dice with the
A-Wing. That's nice.
But only for one shot.
That's just like a missile. That's very nice.
Yeah. Well, it's it's from one of the new packs.
It's Rebel Aces. It'll be in Rebel Aces.
It does look rather tasty.
Just out for a bit, though, is it, Rebel Aces?
No. But then again, that's the story of everything with X-Wing. Ah, you can see these, but you cannot play with them.
I'm very happy sat here with... Yeah, I don't think I need three Phantoms. I think two is enough, so one might get mothballed.
Okay.
Well, you've got two named pilots, and the basic pilots just aren't any good. They get killed as soon as you drop your cloak to shoot, because you can't shoot when cloaked.
Yeah.
You're just dead. As soon if you've got Wedge on the table or anybody else, you're just dead.
Well, that was always the issue of why there weren't cloaking devices in the Star Wars universe. Because in-universe, when you turn on your cloak, as would logically be in real life, you can't see out. You don't know where you are.
Well, the Star Trek reason for not shooting and cloaking is power.
Yeah, but the Star Wars one is you can't see.
Okay.
Which is why it was done for the Thrawn series. It's where they got loads of cloaking devices. And the Rebels are like, they're useless. You can't see when you use them. You can't use any sensors to see where you are. And they just use them to cloak meteors and just set them in orbit around Coruscant. And
nice.
Then use tractor beam ghosts to make it look like there were thousands of them. There were actually like eight. So nothing cool. Can go in or out from Coruscant because of these cloaked asteroids that were just orbiting the planet.
That's very cool.
I was like, this is a genius plan.
Yeah.
So, should we come back?
Yeah.